Hello, this is Noelle Madison, just a typical ADHDer. I want to talk about a certain type of villain that I hate. It's a trope that almost exclusively involves women. I think I've only seen this a couple of times, and it's been in television shows, at least that I can remember. But there are many variations on this type of character. It's almost always a female villain who is extremely cold and calculating, and she makes basically no mistakes, and you don't realize her true intentions until it's way too late. Now, this isn't always a bad thing in villains. I can take that sort of thing in a movie and in an episode of a show or in a scene, but I have a problem when it's done over an entire season of a show, or even many episodes. I consider this type of woman character to be really sexist, but a lot of feminists disagree with me, because in feminism you can actually disagree with one another, and people do that quite a lot, which is incidentally why it's not actually a cult. Though one could argue that certain branches of feminism are very cult-like. But that's a discussion for another time. I just hate it when people refer to feminism as some monolith, like you can't be a feminist if you believe that a woman can be feminine. Basically just describing stereotypes of feminists. Because there are so many different kinds of feminists. As many as there are people, really. So to me, while I see this type of character as this strong woman type that has actually been written about, luckily, more critically in recent years, where, okay, we're not going to have this woman be the damsel in distress, so instead we're going to make her superhumanly perfect. However, she's still going to look exactly like a stereotypical beautiful woman on film should look. This type of strong female character is also basically a cold-hearted sociopath. I'll give a few examples later, but I don't really want to spoil anything just yet. I'll let you know before I mention some shows and characters. For one, I consider these types of villains, even if they're male characters, to be quite boring. If they have no flaws, if their plans go perfectly. As I discussed in the last podcast, and partly based on a Mythgreens article about sympathetic villains, it's much more compelling for me and for many people if the villain has flaws. I mean, obviously they're going to have some flaws because they're standing in somebody's way, usually doing something cruel or immoral or whatever. They're the bad guy, in quotes. So in the last couple of podcasts, I talked about the character, the Penguin in Gotham. And that's one of the reasons why he's so intriguing, is because in spite of the horrific things he does, and in spite of how vindictive and cruel he can be, he also has such an uphill battle that it's hard not to root for him in certain ways. And if he makes mistakes, it's understandable, it's relatable and human. Some villains' plans go much more smoothly, and yet they're still really interesting. And I think that's when we follow them as a character and we see things from their perspective. But that's almost always from a male villain's perspective. Richard III is super manipulative. He is very evil. And he does have some disadvantages, like his looks, as he describes, his place in the family. But by and large, his plans go really well until the second half or towards the end. This is also true for the House of Cards villain, at least in the UK one, which I've seen, and probably in most of the American one. In season one, at least, the villainous protagonist is extremely devious, and his plans go very smoothly. But we get to see his commentary, his snarkiest sides, his true face versus the one that he shows to the public. The female villains I'm thinking about totally catch the hero, usually a man, completely unawares, and usually the viewer as well. So instead of seeing their flaws, which are some of the best kinds of female villains, if they're really ridiculously arrogant and kind of out there, or very selfish, or they have some sort of sympathetic aspects to them that makes them more relatable. We just see the end result, which is a perfect mask of feminine duplicity. And sometimes characters around them actually end up acting totally out of character. Not always, but this is when it's particularly poorly done and, you know, act especially stupid. And instead of seeing their rise to power and perhaps how they learned how to manipulate so well, or how they see the world, if there's some sort of a strange supernatural creature, for instance, or even just a really bizarre human being, we usually see them from the male hero's perspective. Or, in some cases, what I actually like even less is from a male anti-hero or villain's perspective. The reason I dislike this even more is because it often involves the man being manipulative towards or abusive towards the woman who turns out to be a villain. But as the audience watches it, we think that she might be a sympathetic person and a sympathetic character. Then, when it's revealed that she's actually an evil mastermind, on the one hand, we're kind of supposed to applaud her for not being the stereotypical female victim. So, yes, they subverted expectations, and it's a nice idea, definitely. The way it's done, I hate, because it's not realistic, and it's already how a lot of people view women and view female victims as manipulative, liars. And again, this would be very much mitigated if we really saw it from their perspective and if they were an interesting study as opposed to from an outside perspective. It also sends a message that while these male villains may be screwing up because they're just human and they're flawed and they get hurt by people, these female villains are just so superhuman and tough that they are not hurt at all by abuse, which is, again, frustrating to me because it's suggesting that women are less vulnerable and less human than men. So if you abuse them, it could be okay. If they're a bad person, it's probably better to abuse them than a bad man because they can tough it out. I mean, it's certainly not the intended message at all, but that's how I feel watching it, is that the male villains get to be human and vulnerable and wounded and feel pain while the women don't. These characters also manipulate by using their status as a female victim, which in my opinion feeds into theories that, oh, sexism is over, misogyny doesn't exist, women and men are equal because a woman can just look a certain way, use her sex appeal, quote unquote, as has been determined by men, usually, to gain sympathy and get a guy to do whatever they want, whether it's as a lover or kind of a little girl or a motherly caretaker figure. So on the one hand, we have to watch these creepy male characters act weird with the women and make them uncomfortable, and then their reactions, which might be quite normal if you were actually in that situation, like you react negatively to being threatened, for example, end up being completely unimportant. So I feel like I have just wasted my time watching someone abusive towards a woman and then sympathized with her, identified with her, and emotionally invested in her for no reason. It was a complete waste of time because the whole thing was a sham. And again, people aren't usually that good at being a complete liar unless there's a whole lot of other warning signs going on. They might not be easy to see, but they pop up occasionally. And I'm not saying that everybody should notice it. I'm just saying that it's the type of thing that when you look back, it's much more apparent. But these women never really let anything on. So yeah, you see in the news all the time and in real life, many people find it much easier to believe that a woman is a complete psychopath who is able to fake cry and beat herself up in order to frame someone for abusing her. They find that more likely than for someone to actually abuse her, particularly a man. Statistically, that, as far as we know, is not comparable at all. It's many, many more people who abuse other people than who magically, demonstratively fake abuse or pretend to be affected by abuse that doesn't actually happen. Though that is a tactic of people who are abusive in both ways. So these women are not abusive in both ways for what we see as the audience. They're just abused, and then suddenly they turn on their abusers and are like, guess what? I was stronger than you and smarter than you, better than you, more evil than you the entire time. Gotcha. These masks aren't necessarily compelling either because they're supposed to conform to this certain type of stereotypical femininity. And yeah, okay, it's supposed to be the stereotype perhaps of the jerk who is manipulating them or attempting to manipulate them. But I don't find it compelling because it's not a real person. It's not even a real person with a personality disorder. It's just the actual stereotype we see on screen. So this can be uninteresting, boring, and just perpetuate more stereotypes of women being naive and stupid. And there are so many masks that people like this can wear, I mean, in fiction and in real life. Like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be super realistic, but it can be intriguing. Like, I'm thinking of Iago in Othello, who wears the mask of being too honest. He's too blunt, but really it's just an excuse to be a jerk and to cover his ass when he says weird and awful things. Some come across as really funny. Some do come across as weaker and more naive, but usually in a comical way or at least a less stereotypically gendered way. So I will give a few examples. Here are some minor spoilers first for the characters I do like. I'll cover them really briefly. And then I'll mention some bigger spoilers for the major twists. I actually liked Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow in the first Avengers movie. Even though she did express more fear than the male characters, which is a problem, I thought overall Joss Whedon did well with that movie, and I still think he does a really good job, by and large, of balancing characters and making them integral to the storytelling without focusing too much on one character. In spite of his flaws about his personal behavior and some of his other writing that has come out. And I'm not actually referring to Age of Ultron because I interpret it differently than most people, but just him as a person, I can definitely see why people wouldn't like him or a lot of his writing about women and victimization. But whatever the case, I still like the fact that Black Widow was not a strong TM female character because even though she was mysterious, she still had nuance. She uses her status as a victim, partly because she's a woman, partly because she's a human, in order to manipulate Loki. And it's just in one scene where she displays vulnerability and horror and grief when Loki, who is hurling insults at her and poking at her sense of guilt and her attachment to Clint Barton, Hawkeye, I think her partner, she is able to draw information out of him because she can read that he looks down on her so much. And so she sort of has tears in her eyes. And even though what he says affects her, not necessarily in the way that it seems, like she's more upset by her guilty conscience than by his violent threats against her. And even sexualized insults and threats of sexualized violence against her. And then it's revealed that she was playing him just to get information from him. And it's that scene, and it's great. And you do see that there are other times when she's vulnerable and scared, but that wasn't really one of them. Or it was a time when she was able to put her purpose above her feelings. But you see those different sides of her. Another example is also from a superhero movie, and that's another Batman one, The Dark Knight Rises, with Catwoman, played by Anne Hathaway. And it's really a brief moment, but I think she runs off screaming at some point, screaming her head off. And then suddenly she turns it off and runs away because there's this violent assault, I think, of weaponry. And it's just that quick. But you see it from her perspective. You're following her in her sneaky escapades, and you can see how good of an actress she is and how she can play the damsel in distress at a moment's notice and then move on. As for the bigger spoilers, as in the truly villainous female characters who use feminine victimization or whatever to manipulate men, from what I know, Gone Girl is a little bit like this. I haven't read it or seen the movie. I don't have any interest in it. So this is my weakest example of this trope. It's this type of character who at the end you discover, oh, wow, there's all this crazy stuff about how evil and calculating she is and how she uses stereotypes about victimization to destroy men. Again, this is as somebody who hasn't actually read the book or seen the film. I think the first time I came across this type of character that I consciously realized I hated this trope was in Penny Dreadful with this character, Brona Croft, who becomes Lily Frankenstein, thanks to Dr. Frankenstein raising her from the dead after killing her, sort of in a mercy killing, though unnecessarily early, I would say. He feels attracted to her after and even before he raises her from the dead. And so she is sort of completely at his mercy and is gradually gaining awareness of her surroundings. And he ends up falling for her, though he's also possessive and controlling. She's very much needy, I guess, and then jumps into bed with him. Then it turns out, oh, guess what? She's actually this superhuman, super smart being who was manipulating him and seducing him the whole time and pretending to be this broken creature. So I think a lot of people appreciated that on the one hand because it undermined a lot of the creepy relationship between the two of them, which was, you know, extremely uncomfortable. So I can understand why people wouldn't want to watch that. But also, for me, it made all of those scenes pointless because it was sort of like, oh, well, I guess what he did didn't have any real bad effect on anyone except for himself. And he didn't negatively affect her because she was controlling him the whole time by pretending to be naive, even though we didn't get to see that from her at all until a certain point. A lot of women and feminists really like this twist, so again, it's just my opinion. At least her story didn't stop there. I just found her to be a bit vague after that because I didn't fully know who she was and who she turned into. She kind of shifted, and I think maybe she was supposed to have been changing to become like this sociopathic monster and then was kind of softening a bit and then maybe becoming more invested in women than in men. So I can say at least they tried. Most recently, I was reminded of this trope because of Gotham, and the show had a serious, serious problem writing a lot of characters consistently, especially women. And this one character who appeared in season 4, Sophia Falcone, was the daughter of Carmine Falcone, the big boss of Gotham, basically, who in the show left and in the DC Comics, I think, is there for a real long time. But in this case, this woman who was in her early 20s came to Gotham, played the game, and for some reason was smarter than everyone, had all of her plans go basically flawlessly. And I really hated her character. I think part of it is because I liked her at first, because the actress was great. And I'm sure in all these cases, certainly with Brona and stuff, like, the actresses give it their all. And I was interested in this young woman who I assumed was going to be in over her head, because this is Gotham, and she'd lived in Gotham as a child, but hadn't been there since. And her father had been pushed out, so they lost a lot of status, even if there were some people there who were willing to go with her. She had a strained relationship with her father. Another thing that the writers had to throw in at the very end was that she was doing a bunch of stuff for her father, then she was doing a bunch of stuff for her brother, so it always had to surround a man for some reason. But none of what Gotham threw at her fazed her. Maybe one thing was a blip, and then a couple other things at the very, very end of her life went slightly wrong, but she was supernaturally intelligent and calculating. But I hated the fact that we didn't even get to see how the hell she became this ridiculous mastermind who knew Gotham in and out. We didn't see her grow up and become an adult in Miami and learn the ropes and then have growing pains when figuring it out and trying to apply it to Gotham. We didn't ever see her falter. We saw her cry all the time. We saw her express fear and all sorts of emotions that a normal person would. At first, I was sympathetic to her, but then I was like, what is she doing? She's really stupid. And it's like, oh, that whole thing was just a mask. She wasn't stupid. She was just pretending to be this embodiment of motherly love. And for some reason, the male characters acted extremely stupid and were all wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I appreciate that for once the men were wrong rather than the women, but it made no sense. Like, I had no idea where she was coming from. She was just a machine and not an interesting one. And then it meant that all the other characters had to act completely out of character, or they didn't have a natural progression with how they related to her character. Like, they'd be suspicious of her 1 minute, and then the beginning of the next episode, everything was fine. It was really erratic. And I think part of it was that they wanted to make her seem more evil than the other evil characters she was playing. But I don't think that's necessary. I think you can make them different. She sounds like an interesting character in the comics. In conclusion, I find characters that I've talked about, these female villains who are ice cold super geniuses who are not revealed to be so until hours after their appearance, to be uninteresting ciphers and bad storytelling because it makes them predictable if everything they do is perfect until the plot demands it otherwise. And in my opinion, it continues to perpetuate the myth that women's pain isn't as real as men's, especially when these female characters pretend to be abused. They are actually abused. So let me rephrase that. They pretend to be affected by the abuse, whereas a lot of male villains get to have more complexity than that and get to feel pain. Of course, I'm thinking of a lot of white male villains, and regarding women and certainly many minorities, this is already a problem that we see in so many stories already where, for example, a man's pain is prioritized over a woman, like when a woman will be fridged, so to speak, and killed off for the man's development. So we focus more on the pain of the man losing this woman than of her usually horrific death. And it's something that affects people in real life all the time. If you just look up stories or talk to people who are trying to convince their doctors that they have a pain, and oftentimes doctors are less likely to believe women when they talk about their problems, or to dismiss whatever they talk about as much more minor than it is, or completely mysterious and incurable. This happens a lot in abusive situations. I would say both to men and women in both situations, but I'd say it happens probably more with men being the abusers and women being the victims, when the man's pain is prioritized over the possibly completely innocent victim's pain. So the man's supposed shame or the consequences for his actions against the woman is considered more horrible and painful than whatever the woman suffers. Even if it ruins her life, it doesn't ruin his. The perception is that the effect on him will be worse and more significant than of an effect on her. Anyway, on that happy note, thank you for listening. Again, this is Noelle, just a typical ADHDer. I hope you have a good day. Goodbye.